Remember how last week I said I was jet lagged? And I was, and this week I'm not, but I'm apparently a danger to myself. We will continue on this week as we journey through the Psalms for the next few weeks, and it was appropriate this week that a psalm often used for funerals was one I read a good bit about while I was sitting with a woman who was getting ready to walk through Death Valley onto the greenest pastures beyond. This is a psalm that most people know. I was listening to a comedian yesterday who said he liked to go to the gym and work out religiously, which meant twice a year around the holidays. That's how some people go to church, twice a year around the holidays, or when your mama makes you. And, you know, even those people have some passing knowledge of this, the 23rd Psalm. It is one of those things, as we were talking about one Wednesday night, that has just kind of entered and existed within the kind of, at least southern, probably largely western mindset of, you don't have to know much to know something about the 23rd Psalm. It's used a lot in different settings. It's used often at funerals. But because it is so common, we kind of miss some of the import of it. Like everything we're overexposed to, we forget that it actually has a meaning, substance, and direction for us as followers of the way of Jesus. The 23rd Psalm is beautiful. It defies categorization by rhyme and meter in terms of many of the psalms and how you can break them down into some of their structures. It's outside of some of those. What we do know about the 23rd Psalm, it was probably originally a private psalm, not one necessarily designated for corporate use. It was one that David wrote. It's attributed to David, and it's one that the psalmist wrote out of a deep place of contentment and faithfulness. The psalmist wrote it professing that God was this shepherd who would deliver and who would take on God's people like sheep. And that psalmist wrote this psalm not based on some speculative knowledge of what God the shepherd might do, but based on experience. This psalmist has experienced the goodness of God in good and bad times, and has no reason to doubt that that goodness and that provision of God will carry forth. Easy, right? All of us who've experienced the goodness of God never doubt God's presence in our life again, right? No. So this psalm that began as an individual psalm clearly became something that was repeated in a group, in a cultic setting. Now, when I say cultic, I don't mean that. Do y'all know what the term cultic means? Let me explain. I lived in Waco, so the term cultic has a really special place in my heart. When we were in Waco, it was years after the Branch Davidians had left, and yet you can go where there are still Branch Davidians. It was after David Koresh, and it's still creepy, man. There's still some weird vibes going on there. But cultic also means what we do when we get together and how our life is shaped together. And so things can have a cultic purpose, which means that we use them together to say how we ought to be. And that's exactly what the 23rd Psalm is. What began as a personal reflection on the faithfulness of God becomes a thing that we need to know together to get from where we are to where God wants us to be. You look at the cover of the worship guide, there's this really beautiful image of sheep. Pam liked it a lot. It made her very happy. It's bright. These sheep are all in a line. And I'll tell you what's great about sheep in that picture is that you are viewing them from a distance. I love Doug's opening line. I think that ought to be the opening line of every children's sermon. What is the dumbest blank? I don't know. Let's figure it out together. Sheep are really nasty animals. People are like, in biblical imagery, The goats always get the bad rap, but let's be honest, goats are cleaner, smarter, smell better, are more obedient, and in general, better animals than sheep. And yet, the human condition of those who follow God is time and time again referred to as sheep. Make of that what you will, it probably is not an ego booster. Sheep are really annoying, right? They just kind of go where they want to, and if you get close to them, they smell really bad. So sheep are first and foremost not awesome. And so to begin a psalm that says, "The Lord is my shepherd," is to automatically admit that we are sheep. And that's the first problem, is that none of us really want to do that. To admit that we are sheep is to begin the psalm with a purposeful stance of powerlessness. Everybody loves to be powerless, right? Look, this is who we are as the people who follow God. We start by saying, "You are God, and I am not. You are the shepherd," which means I am the sheep, and no matter what it looks like from a distance, it's not so pretty up close. I'm going to tell you a big secret. Once we get to that place, the rest of it kind of falls in line. Once we get to this grand confession that God is God and we are not, and once that seeps into us in a way where our ego is minimized, not our personhood, not our worth, but our ego is minimized, then we are able to be people who follow instead of people who struggle to lead. That's what this psalm is. It is a mantra for the people of God to say that God has been faithful and God will be faithful, and no matter where God's leads us, as long as we follow, we will be okay. We were driving outside the ruins of Ephesus, and Sophia said to me, "Do you think our church will ever be a museum?" Ephesus is over 2,000 years old and has been functioning as some import in Christian tradition since Psalm 19. Acts 19. I'll get there eventually. It's old. And you know what? I thought about that for a minute, and after I got over my initial, probably not, I thought about the real answer, which was, it kind of depends on what we do. I love this community. I even love this building. I don't know if it'll last for 2,000 years. But I do know that we have the opportunity to leave a legacy just like all those who've gone before us. To be a people who do something that makes a difference, so that we are remembered not for who we are, but for the way that God used us. But we're going to have to get over our own cleverness, our own disputes, our own issues, our own struggles, our own problems, to be focused on the one who leads. When we were in elementary school, you were told to get in a single file line, right? Some of you probably did better than some of us at that. I still hear from children on occasion that they got marked down for not being in a single file line. And if they are children related to me, I say, that's not surprising. When sheep follow a leader, it is not nearly so nice and neat. It's akin to herding cats. It's just kind of this mass weaving and bobbing and going, and then there's always Steve. I didn't think about that being your name, Steve, but I'm going to go with it. It's always Steve who's just kind of wandering out, right? Steve can never quite stay with the group. And so you've always got to go get Steve. and hope that the rest of everybody else just keeps going. It's a perfect metaphor for who we are. I worship and lead a church that is full of people who argue with each other, and I wouldn't have it any other way. When we were standing in Turkey, we went to this school function, and the national anthem came on. And it was like a scene from Doctor Who, like everybody had been mind wiped. Everybody stood at rigid attention with their hands down to their side like this. And they sang with no smiles, facing a PowerPoint. It's this kind of forced agreement, this forced unity. That's not what a life of faithfulness is. A life of faithfulness is being part of a flock that wanders and meanders and yet somehow is so focused on the one who leads that we get where we are going. One of the things I learned this week that I think is important when we talk about the 23rd Psalm is that the imagery in it harkens back to this Deuteronomy passage that Gary read earlier. And this Deuteronomy passage is one that takes place after Israel has been wandering for 40 years in the wilderness. And God finally says, okay, it's time to go. See, they've been wandering because they got so focused on themselves that they forgot about their leader, which was God through Moses. And when they forgot, they wandered. Have any of you been upset about anything this week? I'm not telling you it wasn't legitimate, but I promise you not everything you got upset about this week was. Were you focused on the one who leads, or were you focused on your own needs? Were you focused on where we're supposed to be going, or were you focused on something you could pick a fight about? Were you focused on a shepherd who has been and will be good? Or were you focused on something that just ruffled your fur a little bit? I'll tell you about a great way to wander. Focus on the tiny irritations. You want a great way to not leave a legacy? Get bitter. Get upset. Complain about everything. Believe that everything is always going to hell in a handbasket. That's a great way to leave no legacy. You want to leave a legacy? Let's agree that we won't agree about everything, and let's go do something that makes a difference. You know how you can tell where sheep have been? Not because of all the great essays they've written. Not because of all the thought they've put into it, but simply because they have left a trail. The trail that we lead, that we leave, is always to be where God is going. Does that mean it's always pretty on the way? Eh. See, this psalm is not about God will lead me through green pastures to green pastures, right? No, it's even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm still going where I believe it is green. And it's not even I anymore, it's we are going where we believe God is leading us. What's the most important part of that? The actual going. To get off our sheep rears, our lamb chops, and to get up and to struggle together on the way to where God is leading us. To not even worry so much about where we've been, but to go where God is leading us. And some of us need to remind each other on occasion this thankfulness bit that God has been good. that God has blessed us. Because some of us, sometimes in the middle of the pack, will be so surrounded by the mess of all the other sheep that we will forget that we have been a place that it is good. And so somebody's got to say, hey, remember, God is faithful. And then those of us who are lost, we just keep going. It starts with this. God is God, and I am not. In fact, I'm a sheep. I'm often led by my gut, not always to things that are good for me. But I believe that even a bunch of sheep can make a difference if we follow the one who is the good shepherd. Amen.